HarperCollins presents House of War by Scott Mariani. Read by Colin Mace.
Prologue. Syria, 2015. The two men were the last ones still inside the ancient temple as the invasion force closed in. They had been racing against time in their desperate last-minute bid to rescue as many of the treasures as they could. But they'd been too slow, too late, and their efforts were futile. Nobody was there to help them. Everyone else had fled hours earlier, when the first death knell of artillery fire sounded in the distance and the terrifying rumours became reality. Now the battle was lost, and the government forces trying to hold on to the ancient city in the face of withering attack had fallen into full retreat. These preserved architectural splendours had graced the desert oasis for 2,000 years, dating back to when the thriving city had been one of the major centres on the trade route, linking the Roman Empire with Persia, India, and China. Here the worlds of classical and Eastern culture had melded and blossomed for centuries, right up until the present day. Their noble heritage had remained as a source of beauty and wonder for the thousands of travellers who flocked there each year to marvel. And now, on this terrible day that would be remembered for a long time, the ancient city was about to fall into the hands of the destroyers. The two men knew the end was near. Even though their hours of labour had succeeded in moving the majority of the priceless artefacts to a nearby hiding place where they hoped they could survive, there was still so much to do, so many treasures to try to save. It seemed a hopeless task.
"We must hurry, Julien," said
Salim Yusuf to his younger associate.
"They'll be here any minute."
He was trying to lift a magnificent Greco-Roman bust from its plinth to place it on a trolley and wheel it outside to the already overloaded truck. But the artifact was far too heavy for his 74-year-old arms to handle. He gasped and wheezed, but he wouldn't give up. For the last 40 years, the Syrian had been devotedly in charge of the preservation and cataloguing of the priceless antiquities in this place, which for him was as sacred and holy as a site of religious worship. His companion was a Frenchman named Julien Segal, 25 years his junior, who had been closely involved in Salim's work for over a decade. He was based equally in Paris and the Middle East, and spoke Arabic fluently, a man known for his elegant dress style and cosmopolitan chic. He wasn't looking his stylish best at this moment, as he struggled and sweated to drag a 6-foot Akkadian alabaster statue across the flagstone floor towards the archway near to which the truck was parked. Even inside the relative coolness of the temple, the August desert heat felt as though it could bake a man inside his skin.
"It's no use, Salim. We'll never make it. Everyone else has run for it, and we should do the same while we still can."
"You go, Julien," Salim wheezed, clutching his chest. "I'm staying. I won't abandon these treasures, no matter what. This place is all I know and care about."
"But they'll kill you, Salim."
"Let those lunatic butchers do their worst," the old man said. "I am not afraid of them. I have lived my life and don't have many years left. But yours is still ahead of you. Go, save yourself."
He pulled the truck keys from his pocket and tossed them to Julien Segal. The Frenchman was about to reply,
"I won't leave without you,"
but the words died in his mouth as he turned to see the sight that froze his blood. They were here. 9 men had come into the temple's main entrance and now stood in a semicircle, watching them with detached curiosity. All were bearded and clad in dusty battle dress, armed with automatic weapons. Their leader stood in the middle with 4 of his soldiers each side of him. He wore black, in accordance with his rank as an ISIL commander. A holstered pistol and a long sheathed knife hung from his belt. That was when Julien Segal saw that 3 of the men were also clutching heavy iron sledgehammers in addition to their weaponry. He opened his mouth to speak, but his throat had gone dry. Salim spoke for him. The old man stepped away from the bust he'd been trying to manhandle and advanced towards the invaders, fists clenched in anger.
"You are not welcome.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?